Yasya prapanchasya bahispurtasya. Krishnasya chanta jatare jananya. Maya tvameva prakati kritante. Atraiva maya dhamana avatare. Yasya prapanchasya bahisputasya. Krishnasya chanta jatare jananya. Maya tvameva prakati kritante. Ladies. Translation. My dear Lord, in this incarnation, you have proved that you are the supreme controller of Maya. Although you are now within this universe, the whole universal creation is within your transcendental body, a fact you demonstrated by exhibiting the universe within your abdomen before your mother, Yashoda. Purport. Lord Brahma here describes the inconceivable spiritual potency of the Lord. We may find a pot within a house, but we can hardly expect to find the house within the same pot. By the Lord's spiritual potency, however, he can appear within this universe and simultaneously exhibit all the universes within his body. One may argue that since the universes seen by Mother Yashoda within Lord Krishna's abdomen were within the Lord's body, they are different from the illusory material universes manifest externally. Here Lord Brahma refutes that argument, however. Lord Krishna is Maya Dhamana, the controller, the supreme controller of illusion. By the Lord's own supreme mystic potency, he can bewilder even illusion herself, and thus the Lord actually exhibited all the material universes within his body. This is Maya Tvam, the supreme bewildering potency of the personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Atraiva maya dhamanavatare yasya prapanchasya bahisputasya krishnasya chantar jatare jananya mayatvameva prakati kritam te. My dear Lord, in this incarnation you have proved that you are the supreme controller of Maya. Although you are now within this universe, the whole universal creation is within your transcendental body, a fact you demonstrated by exhibiting the universe within your abdomen, before your mother, Yashoda. Lord Brahma is continuing his theme of his inability to understand Krishna. In case you missed exactly what was being said here in the purport, where it says, you may say, the question, one may argue that since the universe is seen by Mother Yashoda within Lord Krishna's abdomen, were within the Lord's body, they are different from the illusory material universes manifest externally. So I don't know if you understand. It took me a couple times reading it before I understood what the purport of that question was. In other words, because the universes were there, are within Krishna's body, the universes that Mother Yashoda saw, then, well, they must be spiritual because they're inside Krishna's body. That's the idea here. And then it says that Brahma is refuting that now. He's saying, no, but they're the same material universes that you see outside. So this is why it's inconceivable. Now, if you had spiritual universes in there, then okay, these are different universes from the ones that are out there. But what's inconceivable is the same universes with Mother Yashoda and Krishna and everybody in Vrindavan are in his belly as the ones that are outside. So Krishna's in two places. It's like the example given in the beginning here. You can have a pot within a house, but you can't have a house in the pot. But in Krishna, you can have both things at the same time. So that's what's inconceivable about it. The material universes are actually within Krishna's belly, not some spiritual universes. So this is bewildering. Brahma himself, he's greatly powerful. We know how there are many powerful persons in this universe who can bewilder people with magic, even on this planet, what to speak of the higher planets, what kind of powers they have. Lord Brahma, we can just imagine how he could bewilder if he wanted to bewilder someone. But even Brahma is bewildered, and even he can't figure out Krishna's tricks. If you're an expert magician, then you know how things are done. But even Brahma, with his big brain, he can't figure it out, because his intelligence goes only so far, and we can categorize it. If we know, of course, a devotee's intelligence is spiritual, and he can know much more. But if we take it as material intelligence, then material intelligence cannot pierce into transcendence. Srila Prabhupada would often quote a verse from the Mahabharata, Bhishma Parva of the Mahabharata, Achintya kulu ye bhava natang starkena yojayet prakatim bhya paramyachcha tadakinchasya lakshanam. Especially he would quote the first two lines of this. I don't think he ever quoted the second two, actually. But the first two lines, Achintya kulu ye bhava natang starkena yojayet. You can't, the translation is, that you can't use your material faculties to understand transcendence. It's achintya. So don't try to. In other words, don't just by speculation. You can say the point of this verse is that by speculation, you can't get to transcendence. Your speculation is in Maya, so you can't get beyond Maya by your speculation. Prabhupada used to make this point about the Mayavadis. They say everything is Maya, all of the words in this world, all of our thinking, it's all Maya. They're Mayavadis. They think everything is Maya, everything is an illusion. So why should they think that with their Maya speculation, they can understand the absolute truth? That's contradictory. So achintya kalu ye bhava na tangs tarkena yojaye. Tarka also means argument. So by your logical arguments, you can't understand transcendence. You can't get to a conclusion. Tarka apratishta sutayo vibhinna. There's this other verse. Tarka apratishta. Apratishta means you'll never land on anything. We see that happens. Nasavrishir yasya matam nabhinnam. Because all the rishis, all the great thinkers, we can say that modern day thinkers, they're also kind of rishis, because they're activity takes place in the mind. They try to figure things out. So they're thinkers, munis. But they have different conclusions. Because even if you're using the Vedas as your standard, Shrutayo Vibhinna, the Shruti give different kinds of conclusions. You read in one place this, you read another place something else. So you quote from here and there. You argue back and forth. So much arguing, debate. This is part of this tarka is part of the Vedic tradition. But even today we find, I think about this sometimes, about everything is so contentious, isn't it? You can't say anything without somebody disagreeing. This is the age of quarrel. Nobody agrees on anything, especially in the political sphere. Oh, what a mess that is. People are so convinced. They're so convinced of what they believe, what they think is right, the right way to do things. And then someone else will just say, no, that's complete nonsense. You don't know what you're talking about. That will never work. And they just go back and forth. And what happens is just a lot of bickering and nothing good happens. Nothing comes out of it. Apratishta. They never settle on anything they can agree on and make progress. So transcendence, of course, is also in that category. We can argue all we want about what it is, but that's not how we're going to understand it, by our own endeavors. Brahma is a good example of this. He's his own life, you know, the story of his. He was born on top of the lotus flower, and he tried to figure things out. I was going to read something here from the. There are several places where the creation is described. The very nice description in the third canto. I always loved this picture, those who can see it, this painting especially, Lord Brahma sitting on top of the lotus. He's got this bird's eye view looking down, very nice. So he's sitting on the lotus, but he doesn't know what's going on. What did we say? Oh, it was in the purport yesterday. It said, I thought it was nice, probably said, Brahma was bewildered as to his whereabouts, function, and identity. Isn't that just like us when we come into this world? We don't know where we are. We don't know what we're supposed to do. And we don't know who we are. So that's the way he was. He wasn't quite sure. He was sitting up here. Interesting place to be born. The first thing you're conscious of. These descriptions are, or at least some of them are about, every day, of course, Brahma, he goes to sleep at night. So when he wakes up in the morning, he has to be reminded what he's supposed to do. So sometimes he knows he's supposed to create, but he's not quite sure how to go about it. So he's kind of bewildered. He's sitting up there on the lotus. Of course, in the very beginning, he's born from the lotus, the Padmakalpa, it's called, the first day of Brahma. But at other times, too, he wakes up and he has to be reminded. So in the third canto, chapter 8, there's a very nice description. This is the speaker here is Maitreya Rishi. Maitreya is, of course, he was approached by Vidura and questioned by him. That's the previous chapter. Further inquiries by Vidura. The chapter before that, I guess, is Krishna, the universal form. So inquiries by Vidura. So then Maitreya begins to answer his questions. He's asking, one of the things he asks is about the creation. And before Maitreya talks and begins his explanation, he describes his parampara, which is quite interesting, actually. It goes back to Lord Sankarshan. Lord Sankarshan speaks to Sanat Kumara. Sanat Kumara speaks the truth that is given to him by Sankarshan to Sankhyayana Rishi. Then Sankhyayana Rishi speaks to Parashara and Brihaspati. And then from Parashara, Maitreya heard. So that's the disciplic succession, the line coming down. So he traces that himself. He says, I heard this. This is how it got to me. From Sankarshan to Sanat Kumara to Sankhyayana to Parashara to me. So then he begins describing the creation as he heard it. So I'm going to read some of this. It's quite interesting. At that time when the three worlds were submerged in water, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu was alone lying on his bedstead, the great snake Ananta. And although he appeared to be in slumber in his own internal potency, free from the action of the external energy, his eyes were not completely closed. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this. He says that externally he was inactive because he had his eyes closed. He says, actually in the verse it says both things. It says amilita, which means closed, but then it also says nyamilitat, which means not completely closed. So whether closed or completely not completely closed, he was not active outside. He wasn't looking out. But he was looking in, enjoying his internal potency. So when Lord Vishnu goes to sleep, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he's sleeping, his eyes are closed, but he's active within, enjoying his internal potency. Now, he didn't elaborate on what that means, but we can say, of course, Lakshmi Narayan, he's enjoying with Lakshmi Devi. Just like the strength of fire within fuel wood, the Lord remained within the water of dissolution, submerging all living entities in their subtle bodies. He lay in the self-invigorated energy called Kala. So at the end of Brahma's day, then all the jivas are absorbed into the body of the Lord. The Lord lay down for 4,000 yuga cycles in his internal potency. And by his external energy, he appeared to be sleeping within the water. When the living entities were coming out for further development of their fruitive activities, actuated by the energy called Kala Shakti, he saw his transcendental body as bluish. The subtle subject matter of creation upon which the Lord's attention was fixed was agitated by the material mode of passion, and thus the subtle form of creation pierced through his abdomen. So this is the lotus. It's the subtle form of creation. It's described differently in some places. Some Sometimes it's described as just like here, the subtle material energy, but it's also described to be the ahankara of all the jivas. Piercing through this sum total of the fruitive activity of the living entities took the shape of the bud of a lotus flower generated from the personality of Vishnu, and by his supreme will it illuminated everything like the sun and dried up the vast waters of devastation. Into that universal lotus flower, Lord Vishnu personally entered as the supersoul. And when it was thus impregnated with all the modes of material nature, the personality of Vedic wisdom, who was called the self-born, was generated. So that's Lord Brahma. The personality of Vedic wisdom, Vedamaya, Vidhata, Swayambhuvam. Brahma, born out of the lotus flower, could not see the world, although he was situated within the whirl. He therefore circumambulated all of space, and while moving his eyes in all directions, he achieved four heads in terms of the four directions. So if anybody asks you why he has four heads, he was looking around trying to figure out where he was, what's going on. So this is, sometimes it's described, this Lord Brahma here, He's on the path of karma at this point, you might say, fruitive endeavor, or his own activity. He's looking around, he's active physically, looking around, trying to figure things out. Lord Brahma, situated in that lotus, could not perfectly understand the creation, the lotus, or himself. At the end of the millennium, the air of devastation began to move the water and the lotus in great circular waves. Now the lotus is rocking. Lord Brahma, in his ignorance, contemplated, "Who am I that I am situated on top of this lotus? Wherefrom has it sprouted? There must be something downwards, and that from which this lotus has grown must be within the water." Lord Brahma, thus contemplating, entered the water through the channel of the stem of the lotus. But in spite of entering the stem and going nearer to the navel of Vishnu, he could not trace out the root. So he's speculating, and his speculation is accurate. He's thinking, well, there has to be a source to this. I'm sitting on top of a flower. It's got a stem that's going down, so it must be grounded in something down there. There must be something down there. So he's searching and going down and down and down and down, but he never gets to the end of it. Of course, what's implied here is because the source is unlimited. Lord Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, is unlimited. So he can't find out the source, as you would some ordinary lotus flower. Eventually you're going to hit the ground. But down there is the unlimited Lord Vishnu. So it says he could not trace out the root. Where it's rooted. O Vidura, while searching in this way about his existence, Brahma reached his ultimate time, which is the eternal wheel in the hand of Vishnu, and which generates fear in the mind of the living entities like the fear of death. Now, this sounds like he did it for 100 years and he was about to die, but there's no purport here, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a slight variation of the translation of this. Thereafter, being unable to achieve the desired destination, he retired from searching and came back again to the top of the lotus. Thus, controlling all objectives, he concentrated his mind on the Supreme. At the end of Brahma's 100 years, when his meditation was complete, he developed the required knowledge, and as a result, he could see in his heart the Supreme within himself, whom he could not see before with the greatest endeavor. Brahma could see on the water there was a gigantic lotus-like white bedstead, the body of Sheshanaga, on which the personality of Godhead was lying alone. The whole atmosphere was illuminated by the rays of the jewels bedecking the hoods of Sheshanaga, and that illumination dissipated all the darkness of those regions. So there's some description here of the Lord's body now. I'm going to skip all of this. And he's being served by his devotees and so on. Just because I want to read something at the end. Lord Brahma, thus looking upon the Lord in the shape of a mountain, concluded that he was Hari, the personality of Godhead. He saw that the garland of flowers on his chest glorified him with Vedic wisdom and sweet songs and looked very beautiful. When Lord Brahma, the maker of the universal destination, thus saw the Lord, he simultaneously glanced over creation. Lord Brahma saw the lake in Lord Vishnu's navel and the lotus flower, as well as the devastating water, the drying air, and the sky. All became visible to him. Lord Brahma, thus being surcharged with the mode of passion, became inclined to create, and after seeing the five causes of creation indicated by the personality of Godhead, he began to offer his respectful prayers on the path of creative mentality. So in other places it's described that with Brahma, of course, he heard the sound, tapa, and he responded to it. So he was bewildered. He was trying to find out what he was supposed to do, who he was, or how, what his function was, what his purpose was. And when it says that when he heard this sound, tapa, he accepted it as divine. So this is a nice, we can understand how Lord, our lives, you might say, can parallel Lord Brahma's, because we're searching, or at least a human being is supposed to be searching for the absolute truth. Who am I? What am I doing here? What am I supposed to be doing? And we may speculate, but then we don't get anywhere. We tend not to get anywhere. We get lost. We can't figure it out. What happens to most people? They just give up. But the Brahma, he heard a sound and he said, oh, this is a transcendental sound, divine sound. I should respond to this sound. So we can also, when we hear the words of the pure devotee, that's also, we should recognize, or the Srimad Bhagavatam, we should recognize, oh, this is a divine sound. This is a transcendental sound. Sometimes people ask, how can you believe these things? But when you read the Bhagavatam, you say, this really doesn't seem like any ordinary person could write this. It seems to be divine sound. It seems to be divinely inspired. It's coming from another world. It's revealing transcendence. So if we have intelligence, just as Brahma, he had enough intelligence to realize this is divine sound, then we should accept the Vedas as divine sound, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, and respond to its call. We're sleeping, we're in illusion, and we shouldn't just incorporate that sound into our illusion. There's an example given that when you're sleeping sometimes, you probably have this experience, your alarm clock goes off and you just think it's something inside your dream. Some machine is buzzing or something in your dream. And you're thinking, why doesn't somebody shut that thing off? You incorporate the sound from outside into your dream world. So that's what people do with the Vedic sounds. Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. It's coming from an outside, our dream world. And we say, oh no, that's just another book on my shelf. Stick the Bhagavatam between the Iliad and the Odyssey and say it's the same thing. But no, it's sound coming from another place. So we have to be intelligent like Brahma and recognize it as transcendental sound. Take up the instructions. And then we'll know what to do, just as Brahma. Then in after this, he'll offer, after what I read there, Lord Brahma offers prayers to Krishna. Then he begins the process of creation, which is all described there in some detail. So the verse again. My dear Lord, in this incarnation you have proved that you are the supreme controller of Maya. Although you are now within this universe, the whole universal creation is within your transcendental body, a fact you demonstrated by exhibiting the universe within your abdomen before your mother, Yashoda. So any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Very nice class. I have actually a couple of questions. If it's okay with you. First question is, we belong to the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, which means that Brahma is our parampara guru. So how to accept that our guru could fall in illusion?
Mm-hmm. Well, his illusion here is Krishna's maya. This was described earlier as we were reading about this Brahma Vimohan Leela. Brahma can't be bewildered by ordinary maya, but he can be bewildered by Krishna's maya. So this is actually yoga maya. This is all part of Krishna's pastime here.
Yeah, second question. Thank you. Also, it is said that to perform bhakti, we should overcome the three modes of material nature and we should attain Shuddha Sattva. So that being the case, we just heard that Brahma is in a mode of passion for creation. So why can he not create in the mode of Shuddha Sattva?
Well, he's performing a function. You can say our principle is Yukta Vairagya, so we can even apply this here. He has a function to perform, given to him by Lord Krishna. So you can say it's purified passion because it's being used in Krishna's service. So in that sense, because it's devotional service, he's situated in Shuddha Sattva. But as you can say, it's kind of a technical thing. In a certain sense, any activity in this material world involves passion, because passion is the active. Passion means the active state. So to be active, he's using the energy of passion, you can say. He's using that energy of passion in the service of Krishna, and therefore he's creating. But his devotional service, so it's on the transcendental platform.
Thank you, Guru.
Madan Mohan, Prabhu.
Earlier when you were talking about speculation, a lot of times Prabhupada would give examples from the material, our lives, on how to use that in Krishna's service, how to understand it and use things. So can you tell what's the difference between speculation and using something in Krishna's service, understanding it?
Well, speculation that we disparage in Krishna consciousness is speculation trying to understand the absolute truth with your own intelligence. But doesn't mean we can't use our minds, we can't think. And Prabhupada told us we need to. He said, use your brains, use your American brains and do something for Krishna. So that's another example of using something in Krishna's service, something inferior. Lord Ramchandra used monkeys, and we use our monkey brains in Krishna's service. So we have to think, we have to apply the philosophy, we have to be intelligent. We have intelligence given to us by Krishna. We have the power to think and reason, so we have to discriminate. And even that's implied, you can say, by Rupa Goswami's and his six principles of surrender, anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya vardhanam. So he says, accept what's favorable, reject what's unfavorable. So in order to do that, you have to use your brain. You have to figure out, well, what's favorable and what's unfavorable. So that's not speculation, that's applying your thinking power in the service of Krishna. So that's different from thinking, well, maybe God is like this, or maybe God is like that, or so on. Pushkarpu?
Maybe good, like tat buddhayas, tat atmanas, tanishtas, tat parayana, giving a small list of things that you should surrender, your buddhi, yourself, your old self, but your mind.
One of the things we surrender is our intelligence.
Maya sakta mana partha, fix your mind. Manmana. So it doesn't mean that we're speculating, we're thinking of Krishna. Mm-hmm. If you're doing the service, it's not different.
Actually, Prabhupada said the way to control the mind is to be always thinking how to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. He told one of his leaders in the old days. Prangavinda Prabhu?
That Srinata, in second canto, Srinata sadhaya nittam ghinantasya sa chestitam kale nanati dirigana bhagavan visvati ridi. After hearing, somebody must contemplate. In the Parpa Prabhupada said, without contemplation, the reflection will not come. And without reflection, you cannot assimilate Bhagavan in the heart. So that's required intelligence, really. Mind speculate. Intelligence doesn't speculate.
That's implied by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam.
Yes. Yes.
So after the Shravanam, then there's Smaranam. You think about it after you hear it.
In Bhagavatam also, in second canto, ninth chapter, it gives this. There's four Brahma, actually. I was not Brahma. I was looking at the Sanskrit also. Is it Brahma or Brahma? He says that samasti gata, all the jiva total is the lotus flower, where Brahma is sitting. Those lotus flower is not like a lotus flower of the Alachua or somewhere. I don't know where the lotus flower is. Those lotus flower are made of the soul, all this unlimited soul. They don't have any consciousness yet until Kriyadaksha Vishnu enter into the heart. So this is one total. There is also Brahma. And then all the planets, 14 planets, entire stem, including the lotus, is also called Brahma. And then there is a four-headed director, which we call him as a Brahma. And this is, and then Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives that there is a two Brahma residence has to be, otherwise you cannot reconcile all the pastimes. Like when Rebuti, Balaram's wife, with Kukudadmi and Revata Manu went to Brahma Loka, party was going on where Brahmaji was listening, And Rebuti got so angry, and then he says, can you pay attention? I'm looking for husband, and I travel all over the universe. He could not. So by that took almost 4 millennia. So the Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur put a question. If Bhumi Devi went with Brahma for this demon's attack relief, by the time she will go to that Brahma and come back, there won't be any more Dapur Yuga. It's finished. So how is possible? He says, there is another Brahma loko, where this Jambudip, middle is Ilabriti Varsha, and the top of that Sumeru hill is also Bhairaja Brahma reside. So this Bhairaja Brahma, this Brahma is acting as Bhairaja Brahma. Hmm.
Okay, I guess we're done. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.